Please rise to your feet this morning. Say, oh, how he loves us. He says, I'm amazed that he can love me. You know, except you have a person has deceived themselves, it should be amazing to us how such a holy, righteous God will love us. Listen to me. The reason people feel so good with themselves is because they compare themselves with other people. When you think about the holiness and the righteousness of God, and you look at yourself, it will be amazing to you that this God can love you. A perfect God, a holy God, a righteous God, the all and the mighty God, the God in whom there is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. And he sees you like you are and he says, I love you. Why don't you give him all the praise this morning, all the glory? Just magnify this God this morning. Say, Lord, I love you because you love me so. I love you, Jehovah. I give you praise and I give you glory. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. We magnify your name. Blessed be your name forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Thank you for your love, the depth of your love. We appreciate you, oh Lord. Thank you for loving us so much enough to give your life for us. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Please put your hands together for the choir. Awesome, awesome, awesome. God bless you real good. God bless you real good. Where are all the guys? You may please be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much. Wow. Thought we had some gentlemen in the ushering department. Thank God for lovely ladies. None other than Momiluwu herself. Hallelujah. This morning, before we go into the word, I just want to show us a short video clip. But please, I want to do a disclaimer here. We are not promoting yoga or anything like that, but I want you to listen out for the lesson in the clip. This is to encourage some of us that are still on the fence about temple under construction. Now we get the light.
Oh, what are you doing?
Up front.
Sent me those first two pictures on with the knee braces, the back brace, the canes, 297 pounds, and his belly was out to here. And I was thinking, God, how am I going to help that guy?
When you get what you want, not what you need. When you feel so tired that you can't sleep, stuck in reverse. Tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace.
I'm really pleased with this, and I just want to share this with everybody. Thanks a lot.
When you're too in love to let it go, but if you never try, you'll never know.
Here's where I'm at now.
Just what you wear.
Well, a life change starts with a decision making. The decision before you right now is, am I going to be a part of a temple under construction or not? Friends, it's important that we believe in our own self. You know, the Bible says whatsoever, we're talking about the people in Genesis 11. It said there's nothing they have made up their mind to do that they will not be able to do. So God had to do something. He said, these ones are dangerous, you know, because they are resolute, they have made up their mind, and they are going to accomplish whatever it is they have made up their mind to accomplish, you know. Can I tell us something this morning? Healthy life or healthy living is not just about weight. I hope you know that. There are many people that are not, they don't have pot belly like myself. You know, yeah, for now. I was told to sign us up. But I gladly signed us up. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So it's very important that we take ownership of our lives. You know, there's people with, I'm not a human doctor, you know, but there's slim people with high cholesterol. All right? You know, so it's important. This body, we must keep this body. Amen. Because we only have one life to live and we have only one house to live it in. If it was possible for me to say, you know what, this body is tired, let me put it aside and let me take another one, that would have been nice, but it's not. Unfortunately, I've not been given that option. You know, sometimes my knees bother me and I want to run. I can't run. I wish I can just snatch my wife's knees and just take this one off and so you use this for now, but it's not possible, you know, but we need to take care of ourselves. That's the point I want to make, because God will bless you. Oh, somebody didn't hear me. I say God will bless you. God will increase you. God will multiply you, but I want to make sure that you are healthy to enjoy the wealth. Yeah? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So today, we're going to go into the Word, but before we do that, I want us to please rise to our feet. We're just going to read a text very quickly. You can start my time. Thank you. Let's bow our hearts to pray. No, not that time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. Jehovah, we appreciate you. Lord, we look back to this year and it's amazing that it's almost up already. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, if you will have dealt with us according to the multitude of our sin, Lord, none of us will be here today. But Lord, you have been merciful. Lord, you have been kind. You have been faithful and true to your word. We are grateful. Please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Jehovah, you are the giver and the author of life. And your word is life. Daddy, this morning, speak to us directly in the name of Jesus. Let your word come alive in every heart. Let make my tongue this morning like the pen of a ready writer, that I may precisely and accurately declare your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. Let's read the text that we have been looking at for some time now, Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 36 to 41. Matthew 22, 36 to 41. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked, we don't need that. 40 is good. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And you may please be seated. We had started a sermon series. And we're talking about greatness, how to be great in life. God has created us great. He's a great God. He couldn't have created a mediocre. And because God is great, we know we have the potential to be great. This morning, I would like to catch us up a little bit, but we won't be able to do that much of a review like I would have loved to do because of time constraints. But I'd like to start today by saying that there are three dimensions of love. There are three dimensions of love. One is our love for God. And that's what we dealt with in Dare to be Great, part one and part two. Our love for God. The scripture says in Matthew 22, verse 37 that we just read, it said, Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. So we talked about the heart, the part one and part two, and the co-pastor did a fantastic job last Sunday. She wrapped it up for us by talking on love, our mind. He's talking about the mind being the devil's playground, or the playpen, you know, to put it in context here. The first dimension of love is our love for God. The second dimension of love is our love for one another. And we're going to be looking at this. And the third dimension of love is God's great love for us. Anytime and every time I think of the love of God for me, believe me, it brings me to tears. Because I know where I have been. I know the things that I've done. For the same God to still qualify me to say anything about him today, this God is absolutely full of love. It's absolutely full of love. I've shared my testimony many times. Some of you have laughed at me. Some of you have looked at me funny like, whoa, pastor, if I knew you had done that, I probably would have gone somewhere else. But that's in my past. Hallelujah. And I say this all the time. It's okay for you to laugh at me. But as you're laughing at me, you're laughing at yourself because you have your own story to tell too. You know, many of us, we like to look cute. We know, you say, no. It's a privilege for us to be called sons and daughters of God. You know, so what I want to do the next few weeks, by the grace of God, is we're going to be talking about our love for one another. And as we do this, we're going to be talking about the promises of God for our lives, God's promises for our lives. Jesus challenged his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 15. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the challenge. He's saying, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandment. It is therefore imperative for us as followers of Christ that we follow in the master's example. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus humbled himself and all the way he obeyed his father. All the way. It's amazing to me that Jesus, how many of us know that Jesus is God? Yeah. Philippians 2:5 tells us. It says, even though he was God, he didn't think anything of taking on the form of man. He didn't think of it as demeaning or degrading because he understood there was a task at hand. Amen? Jesus, being all that, in John chapter 5 and verse 30, John chapter 5 verse 30, the Bible says, Jesus said, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. John chapter 5 verse 30. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. This is amazing to me. If God, Jesus, God, is saying here that of himself, he cannot do anything. What he's talking about there is not talking about ability. It's talking about submission. It's not talking about an inability to do stuff. It's saying, I have submitted and surrendered myself to my Father. It is therefore important for us as followers of Christ that we do the same, because this is what our Master did. This is what the Savior did. Submission is therefore not a function of my ability or inability. It's not a function of strength or a lack thereof. It is in spite of ability. It is in spite of strength. It is in spite of status. So when it comes to submitting to Christ, when it comes to obeying God, it is not whether I'm able to do this or I'm not able to do that. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient for me to do. So it is very important that I choose the right way. So the text that we have read, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, the Bible says the second commandment is like the first. And it is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, when you look at the text like that, one thing is clear to you, or should be clear. That is not a suggestion. He didn't say, if possible, love your neighbor. No. Hey, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that you will. It is a command that you love your neighbor as thyself. You know why? I'm careful to say this because I've seen a number of things in recent times that causes me, my heart to skip a beat sometimes. You know, you will think everybody will love their body, right? Everybody will love themselves. You know, so that is the context in which the scripture is talking here. That as you will love good things to happen to yourself, he said, do the same for your neighbor. Do the same for your friends. Many times, a lot of us are not good neighbors. And I'm not talking about the person living next to you. I'm just talking people sitting right next to you. You know, there's many of us, we come to church Sunday after Sunday. There's people, different people sitting to our right, to our left. We don't even know their name. Look to your right. Look to your right. Look to your right. Do you know her name? Do you know his name? No? Okay, look to the left. Okay, that's fine. Look to the left. So if you bump the right, let's see if you can make it on the left. Forget about the right. You didn't get it. Look to the left. Praise the Lord. You know, it starts with things as simple as that. I don't want to see you on the street and go, hey, hey, brother. Be like, when did I become hey, brother? I'm not hey. I have a name. You know, when I see you and I go, oh, Amarachi, how you do? You know my name? Oh, yeah, I know your name. We go to the same church, don't we? Right? So love your neighbor as thyself. But as we dig into this, what I would like to do really, because I want us to be able to follow along together, we're going to start a study from John chapter 13 to chapter 17. And that's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. John chapter 13 to 17. When we begin like this, something becomes very important for us to note. What you are reading in John chapter 13 and following is an account of Jesus meeting with his disciples and giving them assurance. It opens the text by saying, my hour has come. It's time for me to leave. That might not mean a whole lot to you because you didn't eat and dine physically with Jesus Christ. But when you think of Peter, James, and John, for example, in Luke chapter 5, the Bible tells us that they are fishermen. They were at their trade. They were fishing. They had a bad night. Jesus came, hooked them up. They had a huge catch. And at the end of the day, he said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And from that day, they never looked back. They followed him 24/7. Where he went, they went. What he ate, they ate. Where he slept, they slept. They went about everywhere with him. Is it Matthew? Matthew, the tax collector. The moment he encountered Jesus, Jesus said, follow me. And he abandoned everything and followed Jesus. Friends, the picture I'm trying to paint to you this morning is that this group of men have known nothing else and no one else for the past 3.5 years. This man, Jesus, had been everything to them. Anytime they encountered the religious people and they had trick questions for them and they began to scratch their heads, Jesus stepped up and answered the question. You know, for many of us, when we think about the scripture and the things that happened to the disciples of Jesus after he was arrested and during his trial, you know, we are quick to judge them that they all disappeared. How could you have walked with Jesus and then you deny him three times, Peter, three times? Friends, if all you have known is this Jesus, he has been everything to you and is just taken away from you suddenly, hopelessness will sink in, which is what was happening to them. And because Jesus knew what was coming, he had to assure them. He had to teach them and tell them certain things, and that is what we're going to be studying. And he made many promises to them to show them the things to come. Can I tell you something? Whatever started in John 13 is where we are living right about now. Because since he left, since he ascended to heaven, since that time, he has not come back physically until rapture. And on that day, I pray that he will find you faithful. I pray he will find me faithful in the name of Jesus. So Jesus sat his disciples down and he began to go over things with them. Listen, this same Jesus, not only did he provide everything for them, you know, when you walk with a mentor, that miracles was commonplace with him, you become dependent. Amen? They were broke. They didn't have food to eat. He said, okay, go get them food to eat. He said, how are we going to feed all these people? Thousands of men. And you know men can eat. Gordo. Gordo too. You know, he's like, where are we going to get food to feed all these men? He said, don't worry about it. I would say, oh, by the way, there's a little boy with a lunch box here. He said, that's okay, bring it. Bring it. And right there and then they multiplied it. They had more than enough. Not only that, they told them that, Lazarus was dead. This is John 11. He went to the tomb of Lazarus and Lazarus came back to life. You don't want to be separated from such a person. If such a person tells you, I am going to die, say, you will not die. That's Peter. And that will have been you and I. You know, because this is all they know. He's everything to them. They could not imagine life without Jesus. Can you imagine your life without Christ? I honestly really can't. You know, some people say only wimps need somebody, a crutch, to lean on. I say, in that case, I'm a wimp. then I qualify. Call me a wimp because I cannot live this life without him. I cannot live another day without him. Praise the Lord. He healed the blind, the man that was born blind, John chapter 9, you know. And when you look at all of these things, you will come to the conclusion that truly, truly, this Jesus has been everything to them. And the fact that Jesus was living brought great sadness to their heart. So let's begin to dig in. John chapter 13 and verse 1. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Quickly, please. It said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto his Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The first thing I want you to note here is the love of God for you is everlasting. Somebody say everlasting. It says, having loved his own, past tense, he loved them unto the end. This is a present, future, continuous now. He continued to love them until the very end. Friends, the love of God for you and I is inexhaustible. It's inexhaustible. Today, we celebrate Thanksgiving. The first Sunday of the month for us is a day of celebration. We're thanking God for the past month, and we're thanking him for the month ahead. You know why we must always be thankful and grateful? Because his love for us is unending. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Somebody say everlasting love. The love of God for you and I is an everlasting kind of love. So men may fail me. Women may fail me. Friends may fail me. Brothers may fail me. Sisters may fail me. Pastors may fail me, but God will never fail me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will never fail you. I don't know what it is that is a struggle for you in your heart at this time. It can even be a matter of struggle in your walk with Christ. And you are beginning to think, maybe God doesn't want me anymore. He doesn't want sin. He says, shall we continue in sin and expect that grace will abound? He said, God forbid it. God forbid it. God forbid it. But friends, the love of God is always reaching out to you to pull you closer and pull you in. The Bible says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them even unto the very end. Even unto the very end. His love for us is everlasting. I want you to know today that for you and I to survive in this world, you need somebody. We need one another. That is why the commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, is very important. Friends, you never know the one you are helping today, how they are going to help you tomorrow. You never know the favors you are giving today, how the payback is going to come tomorrow. And sometimes it may never come anyhow. God will just use a totally different scenario to meet you at the point of your need. But friends, you never know. The Bible says, open to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 verse 34. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. This is Jesus. If you have the red lettered Bible, this should be in red print. Because these are the words of Jesus. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Friends, for you to survive, you need that brother and that sister sitting right next to you. We need each other. We need one another. I need you praying for me. You need me praying for you. If we're going to make it, have you noticed the backsliding, even in the church today? Last Sunday, I believe it was, we were praying that God should heal the church. The church is sick. The church is sick. How many people remember the three sickness? Amnesia, Alzheimer's, and AIDS. If you missed it, you can ask the people that came. Amen. The church is sick. The body is sick. The body is weakening. And that is why we must pull together. The church, you know, the society today, the culture, listen to this. Please listen close to this. The culture today teaches us to be independent and stand alone. The culture today teaches us success at all costs. It does not matter how what I am doing impacts her, as long as I get along ahead of her, that's okay in life. Do you know if I'm strong and she's strong and he's strong and she's strong and she's strong and we are all strong like that, do you know what force we're going to have? It's going to be a great force. A rich man in the midst of 1,000 poor people is just a poor man. Except he's heartless. Except he's heartless. Because if he's heartless, he will just watch them suffer and then he will vaunt his riches in their presence and show them how hungry they are and how well fed he is. Amen? Jesus said, love one another even as I have loved you. Last Sunday, it was a deliberate thing I did. I told us, look around and tell me who have you noticed that is not in church today. How many of us reached out to anybody during the week? You know, you just gave a phone call, say, how you doing? I missed you in church on Sunday. You doing okay? Love one another. This is not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. The church has become a personal thing today. Say, oh, my Christianity is just me. If I can make it to heaven, that's okay. Well, that's not the vision of our church. The vision of our church is that we, number one, as an individual, your goal must be to make it to heaven. And next to that is that you take as many people as possible with you. If you don't have that vision, you have created a division. Division. Love one another. He said, "By love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. You know, I was going to Dallas. When was it I went to Dallas for seminar? Last month? Sometime. I was going to Dallas. You know, and I decided I was going to take my old reliable Toyota Camry 1998. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. You know, I have a 2007 Toyota Camry. That's fine. But I was taking the 1998 Camry. A little bit up on the body, but the engine is sound. I knew it was okay. I just bought 4 new tires to it. So I knew it was fine, you know. But Mommy Olowo, she saw me and said, no, Pastor, let me clear out my car for you. I'm going away for 1 week. He said, oh, no, let me clear my car out for you. You take my car and I will take your car. I looked at I said, this guy is ugly. She said, Pastor, I don't care. Just take my car. I said, don't worry about it. I got this. It's okay. That's the one I want to take. And thank God that was the one I took. The place was so dusty, the road, the county road. I would have been ashamed. Anyway, I would have gone to... I did drive through. It was still filthy. You know what I'm talking about. It was still filthy. But what am I saying? She insisted. She was going to give up her comfort just so I can drive. I mean, the car is... It's just the body that is ugly. It's, believe me, it's a good car. The way you are looking, you are even feeling sorry for me after I've gone and come back. You know? But what am I saying? Love one another. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. The question is, how has he loved them? You see, he's giving them instruction. He's leaving. He's leaving them, and he's leaving them. They are going to be without him. He's not going to be there to defend them. He's not going to be there to provide for them. He's not going to be there to meet their needs. It says, love one another as I have loved you. It means if your sister is broke, busted, and hungry, be there for her. Don't say, that's not none of my business. Say, well, if she squandered her money, what's my own with that? Oh, really? Did you find out if she squandered it or life just happened to them? How many of us know that when life is going to happen, a lot of times it doesn't give notice? Oh, no, 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 it doesn't give notice. It doesn't give notice. Brother Akinwale told us a story. He came for prayer meeting one evening. He went to work. He works night. He got to the job. He was laid off that night. And we just finished praying. But little did he know that God was setting him up for a promotion. One of his bosses at the job where he was fired has transferred to a new place. How many people know people don't move from one job to another if there's no kind of incentive, promotion, money, things like that? Yeah. So this guy was his boss and had moved from this job where he was fired to a new job. So Akinwale gets a job in this new place that this guy now is, right? And he's now the boss of his boss from his former job. It doesn't matter whether you clap or not. It's a testimony. He has the job. He has the money. Life is good. You know, because that clap is just not born again. If you are going to clap, you really clap. If you were clapping, hoping that the clap will bring the testimony, it's too late. The testimony is on ground already. We should just get excited and just give God glory. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Awesome God. Awesome God. We need one another, no man is an island. Can you look at your neighbor and preach to them? No man is an island. No man is an island. No man is an island. So Jesus, the Savior, the Master, the Almighty, the Powerful, the All-Wise, All-Knowing, Almighty God that has been with them and has defended them is leaving them. And he's saying, I'm leaving you. This is before the Holy Spirit came. He said, and I'm going to leave you with one another. Look out for one another. Look out for one another. Look out for one another because you never know. You never know. A moment of weakness can trip a brother, can trip a sister. And if somebody doesn't intervene quickly, they might think the end is here. Oh, I can never make it again. Oh, no, no, nobody will ever accept it. Oh, my life is over. Like, no, 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 no. Your life is not over. It's not over. In fact, it's just getting started. With God, all things are possible in the name of Jesus. And then in John chapter 14, listen to this. John chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 27. John 14, 1 and 27. And I'm going to wrap this up very quickly now. It says, let not your heart be troubled. It's giving them a word of assurance. If he says, let not your heart be troubled, by implication, he's saying there will be reasons for your heart to be troubled. But I'm assuring you that as I have been with you physically, even while I am gone, I got your back. Somebody say, God got my back. God's got my back. Friends, there have been many things in life that will challenge you. If you have never been challenged before in your faith, it means you have not attempted anything great. If you are going somewhere great, the enemy will fight you to the ground. He will fight you to the ground. And Jesus said to them, he said, I know these things and I'm warning you ahead of time. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. You know why? We talked about the heart before. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. If the enemy can get to your heart, he has gotten into your destiny. Remember that story I shared with you. That guy, the guy with the paralyzed in both legs, and he was the happiest guy on campus. And his friend went and met him and said, why are you, what's funny about life? You're always smiling. You're always happy. What is the secret? Doesn't this thing embarrass you? That everybody's walking and you are going humping? He said, no. He said, I have not allowed the disease to get to my heart. Once the disease gets to your heart, it's gotten you. It's gotten you. Finally, this morning, what I want to share with us is a little further away from what we are studying, but it's very important because this has been part of my prayer for some time now, and I want to let you into that secret. Listen to me. The problem with us believers today is not that God is not moving, is that the enemy is doing a secret service undercover job on our lives that we are not aware of. In John chapter 11, when Jesus finally got to Mary and Martha's home, they said, your friend Lazarus is dead already, and we have buried him 4 days. He said, take me to his tomb. They did. He got there and said, roll the stone. They said, oh, by now he's thinking. Did he ask them? Did he ask their opinion about the state of his corpse? That is what people do. That's what people do. But you cannot mind side comments. You stay focused on task. Jesus said, forget that. Just roll the stone. They rolled the stone. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth, bound. He said, loose him. They loosed him. The man began to walk around and began to eat. His life was good. In John chapter 12, listen to this. This is where I'm going now. In John chapter 12, when Jesus, let's read it. John chapter 12 from verse 1. He said, then 6 days before the Passover, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Jump to verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. If you're a student of the Bible, you should stop there. This is the man that died, was resurrected from the dead, and then some people are planning to kill him. What could he have done? What is it about this guy that they just want him dead at all costs? The first time he died because of a disease, God turned his life into a testimony. God will turn your life into a testimony. Oh, by the time God is done with you, you will become the talk of the town in that what the Lord has done for you has not been heard or seen before. In the name of Jesus. Friends, can I tell you that is the beginning of problems sometimes? Because of Lazarus, many people came to know Jesus and believed in him. And this angered the chief priests. The chief priests and all of the leaders in the temple, they were now incensed and they were mad. You know why? Because Lazarus is an evidence of the glory of God in the life of Jesus. When the enemy cannot stop you or cannot stop the manifestation of the glory of God in your life, they will try to destroy the evidence. They will try to destroy the evidence. And that is exactly, they figured if we killed Lazarus and nobody can say this is the man, it was a fake resurrection he did. The man is dead again. There are things that God is doing and has done in your life that the enemy is trying to shortchange. Every evidence of the goodness of God in your life that the enemy is seeking to destroy, they will not succeed. Oh, you didn't hear that. I said they will not succeed. I want you to rise to your feet this morning. And you are going to pray and you are going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every evidence of your goodness, of your greatness in my life that the enemy is trying to destroy, it shall not work. It shall not work. Go ahead and pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, every work of the enemy, every plan of the enemy, even to destroy your evidence in my life, my God and my Father, it shall not stand. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass in the name of Jesus. It shall not work. It shall not work. Your goodness shall be evident in my life, in the name of Jesus. Your power will be evident in my life, in the name of Jesus. Your glory shall be evident in my life, in the name of Jesus. I will show forth your goodness. I will show forth your praise, in the name of Jesus. The evidence of you, the evidence of God in my life shall not be destroyed, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. The enemy is trying to attack your testimony. Friends, listen to me. Don't allow him. Listen, listen, listen close to this. My time is up. I'll say this and I'll go take my seat. There are many of you that the table is set. Somebody say the table is set. And the enemy will come and tempt you. Because, listen to this, Satan cannot stop God from manifesting. It's impossible. Who created him? God. He can't stop God from manifesting, but he can stop you in your tracks. He can stop you. And guess what? He will throw all kinds of carrots before you. When you fall for sin, you just lost an opportunity. When you grab the carrot and you take a bite, you just lost an opportunity. You just lost an opportunity. Listen to me. You know, when we talk about sin, people are quick. What they are thinking of the adulterers and the fornicators. Really? Really? There's more. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says Satan provoked David to number the people. And God, 70,000 men died because of that singular act. Disobedience. Are you disobedient today? Are you disobedient today? Are you faithful to God? Are you doing all that you know to do? So if you are not, the sin of disobedience, if it's active and alive in you, don't worry about the adulterer. Don't worry about the fornicator. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. Worry about your. Lift up your right hand to heaven. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sins today. Every sin of disobedience, and you can add to the list for yourself. Every sin. I confess. And I repent of every sin. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Every sin in your life that is giving the devil an access into your life, even to destroy the evidence of God in your life, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of every sin. The evidence of God in my life will no longer be destroyed. In the name of Jesus, I will show forth your praise. I will show forth your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you forever. We love you. You are God. You are God. Besides you, there is none else. We glorify your name. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sweet Jesus, we appreciate you. Lord, you left, but you did not leave us comfortless. Daddy, we glorify your name. Lord, we will stand up by one another. We will stand with each other and we will make a change in the land. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, him that stole will steal no more. In the name of Jesus. Let him that sinned sin no more. In the name of Jesus. Let the disobedient repent and come to obedience. In the mighty name of Jesus. And let your name be glorified. Be magnified, O God. Be glorified, King of glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen.